Welcome to the BOTUS podcast. I am Jacek from BOTUS, and today I am here with the expert on Cerebone. He is a biologist, and he has been working as a product manager for Cerebone at BOTUS for several years. So, welcome, Dr. Sasha Böhm.
Hello, Jacek. Hi, everyone.
So, Sasha, thank you for taking the time. Let me ask the first question right away. So, you're the product manager for Cerebone. Can you explain to us what does it mean? What does a product manager do?
Yes, that's right. I'm product manager at BOTUS for more than 5 years now. And at BOTUS, I am part of a team of product managers. As most of the listeners may know, BOTUS is offering a big portfolio. We have a wide range of products, and that is why we do share the responsibilities for the products. And at BOTUS, my tasks actually involve the whole life cycle of a biomaterial, which is the development, is support of registration processes to get the biomaterials to the dental market. It also includes preparation of launch plans, promotion and marketing once the materials are on the market. It also includes support of our distribution partners, trainings and educations to have these materials ready in the market to be used. And last not least, my task is also to do post-market clinical follow-up and surveillance, because the materials BOTUS does produce and distribute are medical devices and pharmaceutical devices in case of MaxCraft. And so we have a certain responsibility as manufacturer to ensure safety of these materials during clinical use. And in addition, we constantly have to prove the efficacy of these materials in all the indications, I mean, in all the intended use of this material. So this is also important for recertification aspects, meaning that we can continue with these materials in the clinical use in the markets.
Okay, that sounds like a very interesting job, like lots of many different tasks that you are doing, but also a lot of responsibility, I guess. You mentioned also the safety aspects. Now, Cerebone, it's one of the first products from the BOTUS portfolio that has been there. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Cerebone?
Yes, indeed. Cerebone is the product which BOTUS has the longest on the market, actually. The CE certification for Cerebone was issued in 2002, so almost 20 years ago. And at that time, the product was exclusively used in non-dental indications. I think this is something which many people are not aware of. So it was first used like in spine surgery or in disciplines like oncology. And 4 years later, in 2006, the indication range of Cerebone was widened to the dental field. And since then, it is used in all the indications we are familiar with how Cerebone is used nowadays. Interestingly, and I think this is also something many people do not know, is that Cerebone actually paved the way for the establishment of the BOTUS company, because the young BOTUS company at that time established all the distribution and marketing of this product in the dental indications. And since then, Cerebone has been registered around the globe. It is available in many countries around the globe. And we still continue registration processes so that this material can be obtained in any country. And for instance, in 2018, we received the FDA approval, so the certification for the North American market. And 1 year later, we got the approval for the Australian and New Zealand market. So this is something we want to pursue. Of course, like processes in Asia are going on. And since the CE certification, more than 1 million patients have been treated only in the dental indications. And I think this is quite impressive about the history of this product.
That sounds quite exciting. I agree. I think that many people don't know that the product has been around for such a long time, 20 years now, and that originally it came from a completely different sector that has been used in orthopedics. Now, let's talk a little bit about the topic of volume stability. So there is a lot of clinical and scientific evidence which shows that Cerebone has got an extraordinarily high volume stability. But what exactly does it mean?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, the term volume stability, we do find a lot of in the literature, and actually there is no clear definition. What does it mean for a bone grafting material? I think for Cerebone we can say the following. If we look in the histological data and in the radiographic data and even in the long-term clinical follow-up data, we do see that this material is only superficially degraded, which means once you implant it in a bone defect, this material will remain there for a long time, probably lifetime. And in the augmentation area, Cerebone actually provides stability to the site by two ways. The first is it is like a biological stability, so it supports the forming blood coagulum. This is what we classically call the scaffold function. So it provides stabilization to this coagulum. And this is, as we all know, the basis for the regenerative process, because based on the blood coagulum, we will have a premature bone matrix. And following this, we will have lamellar bone in the end. The second, and this is, I think, the most crucial aspect about Cerebone, is it also offers a mechanical stability, which means due to its non-resorbing properties, it maintains its size and its dimension. So this way it provides a stability and maintains stability of the newly formed bone over a long time.
So I think for a clinician, from a clinical point of view, this is a really important aspect because, yeah, the material maintains the volume of the newly created bone. So you have mentioned that it doesn't really resorb the material itself, or that there is only a superficial resorption. From a biological point of view, is there any explanation for that, why it is so stable?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we do have a lot of evidence about this. And I'd like to go a bit more in detail here, because this is very interesting. We think that, and actually we know from all the analysis, that this exceptional stability of Cerebone is due to its unique manufacturing, which means Cerebone is heat treated in a sophisticated high-temperature treatment process utilizing heat and water only. So this is a process free of chemical additives. And during this processing, the cancellous part of the femoral heads of the cattle, so this is the raw material we use for Cerebone, undergo several heating steps, actually three heating steps, and also washing and cleaning steps. And this is a process we have established over a long time. And with this, we gain a very pure material. Let me just briefly outline these heating steps, because it's very important to understand why we have this high stability in the end. So in a first temperature treatment, we do treat the material at the moderate temperature. And at that temperature, we will remove everything organic from the bone matrix. So this is cells, proteins, and of course, potential infectious agents like bacteria or viruses. This is also organic material. So here we create in the first step and like an inorganic intermediate. We already have the mineral phase. And in the second step, we do apply an elevated temperature. And at that temperature, we do increase the stability and the hardness of the material as we remove substances from the mineral phase which have a high solubility. I don't want to go into very much into detail, but here we have substances like calcium carbonate, which would lower the stability of this mineral phase. So in the end, we would like to have a pure hydroxyapatite. Mm-hmm. And then the last temperature step, heating step, we do apply a temperature above 1,000 degrees Celsius, which is 1,200 degrees Celsius. And here we do increase the crystal growth of this hydroxyapatite. So this in the end prevents the dissolution of the crystals from this mineral structure, and this actually provides this high stability of the material. So in the end, we have a very pure material and with a 100% pure bone mineral. And yeah, which means that this pure bone mineral is hardly being able to be degraded in a chemical way, but it can also not be broken down by cellular processes. And this is why this material, due to its purity and due to its manufacturing process, has such an exceptional stability.
Mm-hmm. That's quite impressive. Temperatures of 1,200 degrees. I can totally imagine that at temperatures like this, any bacteria, any virus, any protein will be completely deactivated, correct?
Absolutely. At 1,000 degrees, we do remove such bacteria, such viruses, fungi, so everything which is organic. And such a high temperature, we even do inactivate potential prions, which did show a high resistance against heat and also chemical treatment. But over 1,000 degrees, 1,200 degrees, such material is even inactivated. And yeah, with this high temperature treatment, we do not only contribute to the stability, but we also gain maximum safety of this material. Absolutely, yes, very important aspect.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. So the high temperature treatment has multiple advantages, if I can summarize it. So on one hand, it gives you a very high safety because you deactivate all bacteria, all viruses, anything that could cause harm. And secondly, you get this high volume stability of the material, a very pure material. And if I understand correctly, you are using only heat and water to produce it. So you're not using any aggressive chemicals in the production process. Let's talk a little bit about another aspect that clinicians often ask about, which is important from a scientific point of view also, which is hydrophilicity. You as a biologist, can you explain why hydrophilicity in general is important for a grafting material?
I think hydrophilicity is essential for a bone grafting material, but is also essential for the bone grafting procedures. I would say hydrophilicity is important because of two reasons. The first is it promotes the cellular osseous integration of the bone grafting material. I'm going to explain it in a couple of seconds into detail. And second, it also improves the handling of such materials, specifically of particulate bone grafting materials. So hydrophilicity, which is the capability of a certain material to take up lipids, enables important molecules like growth factors, like cytokines, like coagulation factors, which are dissolved in the blood plasma, and even cells, precursor cells, stem cells, to penetrate such porous materials like sero bone it is. And the more efficient these fluids penetrate these bone grafting materials, the more the materials, this grafting materials is coated with this important proteins and cells. And this in the end promotes the blood clot formation, as I tried to outline before. And this is the basis for the integration of this bone grafting material. Shortly speaking, that bone is formed in the bone grafting material around the bone graft so that it is perfectly integrated into newly formed bone. And second, as I tried to say, handling is an important aspect of specifically particular bone grafting materials. And the more efficient such materials are coated with liquid, the more efficient they take it up, the more these particles stick together, and it obviously facilitates the handling and application of the material. So hydrophilicity is a very important aspect during the procedures of bone grafting.
So talking about hydrophilicity, how hydrophilic is cerebone?
Oh yeah, cerebone is extremely hydrophilic. So this is something we heard from our clinical users, not only from the users which have been used cerebone for a long time, but also interestingly from the first users. There's mostly like a wow effect. So when they once place it into liquid or into blood, they immediately see how rapidly cerebone soak the liquid and how rapidly it is taken up. And we also do have clinical proof. We do also have scientific proof of this. For instance, in 2018, it was published that this material is much more hydrophilic than non-sintered bone grafts, so bone grafting materials that are not heat treated at such a high temperature, bone grafts that are chemically treated, they obviously have a lower hydrophilicity. And cerebone, that has been shown, has a superior hydrophilicity, takes up liquids very efficient. If you place some drops of liquid next to a couple of granules, it immediately soaks these liquids. It's very, very beautiful to see this capillary effect, how this liquid is taken up. So this is a beautiful property of cerebone.
Mm-hmm. And what about the microstructure of the material? I once had a clinician when I was at a conference who stated that because of the heating process, 1,200 degrees, the material would sort of melt and become like glass, so that it uses the bony microstructure. What can you say about that?
Again, here we can take a look on all the scientific publications about this material. It is very well described. I mean, it's more than almost 20 years on the market, and there has been so many in vitro studies, preclinical studies that have investigated the material on its properties, on its chemical properties. And if we look a close look on these publications, we see that cerebone has a human-like bone structure, which means that it has pores of different sizes, pores which are interconnected, meaning connected with each other. And in addition, it has a certain surface roughness and, as I said before, a super hydrophilic surface. So these beautiful properties are due to the temperature treatment, to the sophisticated treatment, which means we do a sustained and slow heating of the bone raw material rather than just the firing, as I tried to mention before. So this is a processing with which we established, and this careful processing of the bone results in these beautiful properties of cerebone. And not just the physical chemical analysis did prove that we have a natural microtopography of this material, but we also can easily observe this in scanning electron microscopic analysis images.
Okay, so the heating, the production process is done in a way that the microstructure of the bone is preserved, correct?
We can say that with this process, we do gain a stable material, and at the same time, we can maintain all the essential properties of the human, of this mineralized bone matrix, which strongly resembles the human mineralized bone matrix.
And I also imagine that if the material melted, if this were the case, if it were like glass, it would not be hydrophilic, correct?
Yes, that's what we can assume. So if this would be a melted material or a material which with lower mechanical strength, it would not have these beautiful properties we already saw in many different applications and many different publications. So exactly. So these properties, these characteristics are directly linked with the performance of the material. And if there would be like a destruction of the structure, you never would have hydrophilicity, you never would have a reliable osseous integration. But all the opposite is the case. We did, for instance, observe a nice and controlled integration of the material. So yeah, that's very important to understand that you exactly have to look how the material is treated.
Now, let's explore maybe also a little bit the clinical aspects of the material. So far, we've been talking about, biological, technical aspects. But I think what is really interesting for our listeners is also the clinical application. So, when it comes to the clinical use, where do you see or what are the indications where those unique properties of Cerabone have especially strong advantages?
That's of course important. Where can we use it? That's the most important questions probably, or the most important aspect. And I think this characteristics, so this non-resorbing properties, this low resorption kinetics of Cerabone makes this material ideal in situation where you want to keep volume, where you want to support soft tissue. So I believe that in the aesthetic zone, so in the smile line, you wanna support soft tissue, specifically around implants, if you do peri-implant bone augmentation. So in areas where no direct loading is, you want to have something which is stable and stable for a very long time, hopefully for lifetime. And this is an indication where Cerabone is perfectly suited, mixed with autologous bone, for instance, the sandwich technique, on the implant threads, and then covered with Cerabone, you can have a very stable situation over years if you use Cerabone in this indication. And I do see a second key indication for this material can be perfectly used in areas with a higher regenerative potential, like the sinus cavity or the alveolar socket. For instance, in the sinus, where we do actually create bone where naturally no bone is supposed to be, so in vertical dimension, we can use Cerabone in this area where, because we want to maintain volume, we want to have volume. And in the alveolar socket, the same aspect. If we are not sure of placing an implant in the next time, or if maybe go for a bridge restoration, Cerabone can be used in this indication. Is ideal to maintain the alveolar rich dimensions. Of course, we cannot stop the resorption of the bundle bone, but Cerabone contributes to the stability and maintenance of the volume. And last, I think a third very nice situation where Cerabone is ideal material is the augmentation with autografts or allografts, specifically block grafting, because Cerabone can prevent those grafts from resorption, right? If we do cover those grafts with a tiny layer of Cerabone, we can prevent those materials from resorption. And we know, not only from the literature, but also from the clinical uses, that specifically autografts tend to resorb quite uncontrolled. And this is an ideal situation where we can use Cerabone and prevent resorption.
So you just mentioned the topic of autografts. Is it a thing, or would it make sense to mix Cerabone with autologous bone?
I would say it depends on the indication. It makes, in many indications, in many situations, it makes sense, because you can add some biological activity. The autologous bone, we do know that this material has like growth factors, like precursor cells. So in certain indications, it can make sense, but Cerabone can also be used solely in, for instance, the sinus augmentation in the socket, but also in the aesthetic zone. It can be placed on implant and can be just covered with a membrane enclosed by the flap. So this depends a bit on the indication, also the size of the bone defect, the dimension of the bone defect, and depends on the preference also of the clinician.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit also about the scientific aspects. Now, you as a scientist, as a biologist, what can you say about the scientific evidence that there is on this biomaterial?
That's a very important aspect, because evidence it demonstrates that this material performs, shortly speaking, right? And Cerabone, almost 20 years on the market, is one of the best documented biomaterials worldwide, I would say. Its efficacy have been proven, demonstrated in numerous publications, clinical trials, even comparative trials with other bone grafting materials. For instance, there are retrospective analyses that demonstrated that implants placed in cerebone grafted sites do have similar survival rates to implants placed in native bone. For instance, there are five retrospective studies with more than 300 patients that have shown 98 to 100% implant survival rate of those implants placed in solely cerebone augmented areas or augmented areas with a combination of cerebone and autografts. So this is quite impressive and has demonstrated the efficacy of this material in different indications. And in addition, we do ongoing research on cerebone. So we currently have more than 30 preclinical and clinical studies running on cerebone in different indications and different situations. And here we are using our network of different universities worldwide. So we do perform such studies at global academic institutions.
Okay, so it sounds like there is already a lot of scientific evidence that has been accumulated over the past years, and you're constantly also working on generating new studies, new scientific evidence. Let me ask one last question. I'm sure that many of our listeners are very curious about this. You mentioned in the beginning that you are also involved into new product development, into creating new biomaterials. Can you maybe give us a little insight into something that you're currently working on?
A good question. As probably most of the listeners may know, is that BOTIS has always been known for its innovative way of thinking and has always been or always want to go ahead. And specifically for cerebone, we would like, of course, to continue this success story. And we hopefully will soon have something ready to be released, which combines the unique properties of cerebone with hyaluronic acid. So this material, which we will give the name Cerebone Plus, just needs a little hydration. And following hydration, we will have a sticky bone, a mammalleable bone graft. So a bone grafting material with striking handling properties. For instance, we can efficiently fill defects. We can efficiently do defect contouring. We have less time-consuming application, and we can also minimize the particle distribution during the application. So this is a material where we have a handling alternative to the cerebone granules. And of course, we would like to enter this world of sticky bone. Sticky bone is something which people are familiar with and which is a very good materials if a particles stick together, which just simplify the application procedure during the clinical use. And of course, we would like also to figure out the effect of hyaluronic acid in bone grafting procedures with cerebone. So here we also would like to get an insight. Hyaluronic acid has been well described in many disciplines. And here we would like to go for, and we hope to have this ready in 2020 to provide it to all the dentists. Of course, first ready in the European market. And this is what I and my colleagues are currently work on, and this is what we are looking for.
That sounds very exciting. So to combine cerebone with hyaluronic acid, which is a material that is known for boosting regeneration, which has already been used in other sectors of medicine. Now, one question that many people maybe are asking themselves, this wonderful material, is it already possible to predict when it will be available here in Europe?
We are on a very good way. I would say that in the end of the year, so in the end of 2020, we will have the registration process completed. and we will have first materials ready for clinical uses to be used. So I'm very optimistic to have it soon.
Okay, great. That sounds very, very exciting. So Sasha, thank you very much again for your time, for having given us all of those insights into Cerebone and into the new product developments. And to all of our listeners, thank you very much for having listened and stay tuned.
Thank you, Jacek, for this nice conversation. It was a pleasure. And I would like to say that if questions do appear on Cerebone, feel free to text me on my email address sb@botus.com. And thank you to all for listening.
Yeah, we can put your email address actually maybe below in the comment section line or in the line below this podcast, so that if there are any questions, any particular questions on Cerebone, people can contact you directly. So again, thank you very much, Sasha, and thank you to everybody for listening.
Thank you.